and begin to engage with the issues of the day between us as the committee and the department as well as the MC. Maybe before we start the meeting, I would request that you have just a moment of silence, of prayer and meditation. Thank you. Amen. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everybody present, the department led by the Deputy Minister and Boss in South Africa. As you know that in terms of our constitution and also the PMFA, departments and entities that are supported by government have to come before the committee for their, amongst other things, for their annual report. So that would be the purpose of engagement today. Maybe, I don't know if you still remember one another. Maybe before we proceed, it would be good to do the introduction. I am Lynette Zwane, the chairperson of this portfolio committee for education and recreation. Our two first members introduce themselves once again.
Good morning, everybody. I am the Panafeli Mampo, the committee whip. Thank you.
I'm Manana Taki, a member of the committee.
Good morning to everybody. Apologies for coming late, Chairperson. I am Tanlim Pambusukwana, a member of the committee. I'm here to my coalition colleagues.
Morning, good morning. My name is Kathy Damini, member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Ndomo Shepi Aula, the big elephant from KZN. A member of the committee.
Over to you, David Mick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Members, good morning. My name is Kat Wurthuizen, Deputy Minister of Sport and Recreation. And accompanied next to me is Dr. Bernardus on the space from the Department of Sport and Recreation. He is Chief Director of Strategic and Executive Support. Next to him we have Mrs. Ntambia Bailey. She is the Chairperson of Boxing South Africa. Next to her we have Mr. Musilu Make. He is seconded now to Boxing South Africa, and I think he's in the position of Senior Manager Administration of Boxing South Africa. Next to him we have a board member of Boxing South Africa, Mr. Radu. And next to him we have the Parliamentary Liaison Officer of the Minister of Sport Recreation in Entry. So, Honourable Chairperson, that is the delegation that you have here this morning. Thank you.
Malimongwe. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, for the introduction. Let us then proceed. The way we are going to approach this is that we are going to give a chance first to Boxing South Africa to do the presentation before their small entity, after which then the department will present. Not Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Before we ask Boxing for permission, may I just take this opportunity to thank the City Committee for the opportunity to be in front of you to do a presentation on both Boxing, the public entity, and our department's annual reports. But whilst you say, I just formally, I know that you have been communicated to, but formally apologize, our Minister of Sport is not here this morning. He's in Cabinet attending a Cabinet meeting, and the reason why he's attending that meeting is that we are doing a presentation in Cabinet, so he can't be absent, he has to be there. So I'm sure you did receive his apology, but I just want to tender formally an explanation as to why, where he is and why he's not here. And I trust that needs to the committee's approval of the chairperson, and then with the permission we can move on to Boxing South Africa to do the presentation. Thank you.
I will hand over then to Boxing South Africa to do the presentation. When we read through the report of the entity, we did actually realize that there are challenges. A lot of ground has been covered, however, one would actually see that
the target that the Eddy had set for itself were not completely met. But alongside that, what is surprising is that the budget has been, your expenditure is far above the budget that you allocated. So as you do your presentation, you'll give clarity to issues that pose challenges as why is it that you couldn't meet your target. But you exhausted the budget. So let me hand over to you then to do your presentation.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. And thanks for the opportunity to come and present our report. The report you are having has a different background, so it's the same document, it's just that it's a different background. We thought at the better is that we need to bring in our colors. So that's why we changed it to green and gold. Okay. Alright, fine. And second, I just want to also indicate to the committee that there was one slide that we added is the last slide, which would be in the presentation and it's not in the documents you are having. Some of the areas I'll go through them a little bit fast because of the legislative and it's just that for our purpose and our discussion we need to indicate those issues. The first point that we want to present on is about our leadership and organizational management, which actually refers us to the fact that we're a special body of boxing, SFX, and the fact that we report to the Minister of Sport and Recreation. During the period under review, the NTC had a whole functioning board until 2013 when a member passed away and it would not correct. And probably for purpose of the meeting, I should just indicate the fact that we had a board of 7 members and seven members resigned. We ended up having 4 members. And as soon as the fourth member passed away, we couldn't actually correct, and that's the reason why we had that problem that we couldn't correct at the time. The NCT also had 2 administrative heads, the CEO, Mr. Kriti, until 20 September 2013, and Mr. Nosomja until 31st March in an acting capacity. And BSA has a close working relationship with drug-free sport to ensure that there is no profilation of use of drugs involved in boxing. And this is very much important for us because of this individual sport and the fact that boxers sometimes, if we don't monitor it, they would actually try to make sure that they win their fight, use other substances. So we work very closely with them. We also work very closely with SANAVO. SANAVO is our amateur structure. And we also actually work with them when we graduate amateur boxers to professional boxing. But over and above that, out of the boxing in Gaba, we are now trying to work closely in such a way that, you know, for some time back, there had been a gap between BSA and ANAVO. And we are trying to close that gap in making sure that our processes are working together and actually they interlink. As a regulator, BSA runs its activities on the basis of legislative prescriptions, mainly by Boxing Act and regulations, Safety at Sports and Recreational Activities Act, and manages its finances in terms of Public Service Management Act and Treasury regulations. We have our strategic view on areas, on vision and our mission. And one of the things that we want to see ourselves as our vision is to be a leading sport coach in South Africa and a world-class boxing authority. And we are actually achieving that because in Africa we are actually a leading sport and actually now we are already competing at international level. But yes, as the chairperson has said, there are areas of challenges that we need to look at it, because you can't lead when you also have other areas that are not actually covered. And our mission is to administer and regulate boxing in an effective and efficient manner. Our staff complement during the period under review, the entity had a staff complement of 18 permanent employees. The CFO and HR manager were later appointed to a total of 21. And that included also the PE to the CEO. The Department of Sports had, and Recreation had also seconded 5 contract workers to assist in HR, finance, IT sector. And the 5th employee left BSA in March to join the Department of Sports and Recreation permanently. During the period under review, BSA conducted an analysis on boxing landscape in the country. And together with the Department of Sport and Recreation, we then realized that there is a need for us to have engagement with all our stakeholders. We then had the Indaba at 9 provinces, which culminated to the National Indaba in September 2013. And all 9 provinces were presented, our licenses and all stakeholders. And the Indaba was a huge success, and it took certain important resolution impacting on both the regulations and administration of boxing in the country. And some of those areas, as I go on, I would indicate as the ones that we are already implementing out of the Indaba. And also the challenges possibly of why some of them we couldn't implement immediately. BSA is in collaboration with CAPSITA. We conducted large-scale training in 2 provinces, in KZN and Eastern Cape. And the training took place over 3-month period. We are looking now with CAPSITA to roll out the program throughout the country, because one of the challenges with boxing, and especially with our boxers, is the issue of managing their finances, understanding the fact that they are employers, because they tend to be actually employed by promoters or managers, whilst in the real fact they should be the employers. So we need to make sure that we train them to understand who they are and what role do they play in this whole organization, because without the boxers, they won't be boxing. And I think we need to continue making sure that they are trained in a whole lot of issues, in image building, how they communicate with the media, how they commit to their time for training and whatever, you know, all those things that are actually good for them to be professional boxers. Workshops were conducted in Gauteng and Mpumalanga around their views of substance and boxing regulations and understanding the contract. And workshops were attended by licensees and people and other stakeholders. A total of 84 boxing tournaments were sanctioned by Boxing South Africa. And I think it comes to the target that the chairperson was raising, and that with the finances we managed to reach the target. And 110 where boxers joined professional ranks, and 907 licenses across the country were licensed by Boxing South Africa. And one of the good things with boxing, with this particular issue, is the fact that the more we license our licenses, the more we also raise funds within boxing, because that money assists also with our administration in the office. Among others, the following achievements stand out within boxing. Through the Department of Sports and Recreation, we hosted Floyd Mayweather, who visited Dube Soweto Gym, and also participated in the fundraising gala dinner at Empire Palace. That visit has assisted us to market boxing in the country, because it brought in a lot of awareness when it comes to boxing. But also it brought in a lot of professionalism, because in his interviews, he actually indicates that he's in control as a boxer, and which I think it was actually a good lesson to most of our boxers. But over and above that, it gave us a lot of publicity nationally and even internationally. And I think from a marketing point of view, it actually marketed boxing quite well. But also on the other hand, the fundraising was quite good. Henky Butler and Sithiwe Vetere became unified boxing champions. Thabo Mkhunu became the first South African to win the North American Boxing Federation title. And Zolani had the elimination title won within the IBF in 2013. And he was actually honored as the first year, the Fight of the Year award. Our program performance in three groups. The first program is on governance and administration. The second one is compliance and enforcement. And the third one is marketing, branding, and communication and events. Chairperson Ahmad indicates that there's one area that we are not doing well at all. It is the third program, which is marketing, branding, and communication and event coordination. And the reason why we are not doing well in that particular area, part of that is from a financial point of view. Actually, let me say the main reason is actually from a financial point of view, which is one of the things that we are working on, because we don't even have a marketing manager and we cannot afford at the moment to appoint one. But also we are also looking at other ways of making sure that we possibly sign some contracts with marketing companies and come up with a way wherein we would pay them as they perform, or they would pay themselves as they bring in money into boxing. So we are working on options when it comes to that area. On governance and administration, the board met three times instead of four times in the last season because of resignation and the parting away of one of the members. The CEO only presented three reports to the board as opposed to four because of the previous court. And under the sub-program stakeholder mobilization, eight mobilization events were achieved, which is four more than the target. And this was due to positive spin-off from the boxing industry. On compliance and enforcement, it comprises of three areas or subcommittees, namely licensing and sanctioning and rating, and licensing training and development and regulation compliance and enforcement. And 907 people were licensed in various categories of licenses, boxers, promoters, managers, officials, and agencies. A number of mobilization events held were 12 in number, and 84 tournaments were sanctioned, and 39 boxers were trained in life skills program. 12 gyms were inspected for compliance with regulations, and this is one of the most very important issue also within boxing. Because some of our boxers are training in garages, and some of them are training in schools, facilities that are not up to standard. And it's one of those things that we are trying to negotiate with provincial managers and municipalities to make sure that we have proper gyms within our communities, especially in disadvantaged communities. The marketing and branding is the one that I've already indicated that we're not doing well. Four major boxing events were identified and supported, and they were good in marketing boxing, but not up to the standard that we want to. We are also lobbying for television rights. At the moment, there is no broadcasting of boxing on SABC, and we have been trying to negotiate with SABC for a while. I know now the minister actually has taken that issue, and he is actually coordinating committees to work on that. That by next year, by the beginning of next year, we should have boxing back on television. Under governance, the entity had a fully functional board until November, where the board member passed away. The entity had also an audit committee, which in the previous financial year we didn't have, but now we had an audit committee which performed its function, and the entity had a function and rating commission. Internal audit from the Department of Sports and Education perform internal audit functions at DSA, and also the entity has a fraud prevention plan. We had to request the department to assist us with internal auditing again because of we couldn't actually cover that on ourselves, but then we thought possibly we should share resources with the department, which is working quite well. And actually saving money on both sides. Human resource, the entity employed 18 employees on permanent basis, and the new chief CFO was appointed to manage finances of PSA. Coming to financial statements, other revenue, we PSA had revenue for the year of 10.4 million, made up of government grant, functioning, and also license fees. And the revenue increased by about 1.6 million, mainly due to additional allocation received from SRAB and also assistance from CATSIDA. But it must also be noted that there was no revenue received from provincial governments compared to 0.829 million for as it was on 2013, on 2012, yeah. And Boxing SA realized an operating surplus of 447,976 for the year under review, which translated into surplus of 350,000 for that year. And within our expenses, Boxing SA incurred a total of 10.245 million for the year, mainly in general expenses and employee costs. And our general expenses, decreased by about 0.550 million due to no expenditure on provincial boxers development. And employees, especially the issue of provincial development at, of boxing is one of the areas that we need to focus on moving forward, and we are working on that one with provincial government. Employees' costs increased by 1.350 million because of the annual salary adjustment and addition of staff, especially with the HR manager and the CFO. I'll skip the two slides because it's part of the financials. So in summary of the audit report, the Auditor General has given an entity an unqualified audit opinion. However, there are challenges, in particular that the entity had incurred irregular expenditure of 924.312. And a fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 182,000 rand. The major cause is that there was no supply chain management unit, and this has mainly contributed to the irregular expenditure. And as we move on, I will indicate what we are dealing with, what we are trying to do in addressing that particular challenge. Challenges that we are faced with as Boxing South Africa. The first one, which is a major challenge, is an adequate funding. If we look at the Act and the regulations and what is expected from Boxing South Africa to do as compared to funding that we are receiving from government, the two are actually not assisting us to deliver as we are expected. We've done an exercise, I think, just back where we presented a budget that if we have to implement everything as per the Act and the regulations, our budget should be 46 million. So I think by now we can see, you know, how far we are falling short on our budget. But also on the other hand is the fact that if we follow the Act as it is, there are very few things that we can do on our side to raise funds, and especially with the fact that we do have promoters sometimes who are challenging us when we want to take the rights, the broadcasting rights. But also on the other hand, on the issue of the fact that we agreed at the Indaba that we need to relook at all commercial rights and repackage them, so that we get ways of also raising funds on our own and not only waiting for funding from the department. The second one is lack of a fully fledged provincial structure. And this one, this particular issue, it actually affects our national office, because of we are actually running on all activities that are supposed to be done by provinces. The previous Act used to provide for provincial commissions, which actually assisted us to run all provincial files, so that the national office should focus on regulation regulatory issues, and also on national and international files. It's one of the issues that was identified during the Indaba, and I know through the department we are really looking at how best can we relook at regulations, so that we, even if the Act doesn't give us an opportunity to put commissions, but we can put possibly provincial committees. So probably that would assist us to make sure that the national office focuses on what it's supposed to do, and then at provincial level we will have structures that assist us in running boxing at provincial level. Lack of inspectors to evaluate boxing facilities and tournaments. We, at presently, we are using our staff members and provincial managers to assist us to do, to evaluate facilities and tournaments. But that actually doesn't help us to monitor all tournaments as per our programs, because of lack of officials who could actually do the monitoring. So one of the things that we have identified with the Indaba is that we need to look at ways of appointing inspectors. And obviously, if we appoint inspectors, we would have to pay them money for performing those duties. Lack of sponsorships of BSA activities. Poor capacity of staff is one of the things that we are working on now to assess the level of capacity, but also not only in their performance, but it's also about them. It's not only about the quality, it's also about the numbers that we are understaffed in the office for us to run provinces and also to run national programs. Need to review licensing processes and fees, and then if we review the fees, I think it would also help us to increase our revenue. Lack of broadcasting or boxing, especially on BSA, on SABC, because if we get back on SABC, that would actually assist us a lot in marketing boxing, but also to help us to reach out to our own communities, because most of people who are followers of boxing, who are boxers themselves, are coming from disadvantages and disadvantaged communities, and they cannot afford pay TV for them to follow boxing on pay TV. So the issue of SABC is quite important to our turnaround strategy. We also looked, whilst we are talking about all those challenges, we also looked at issues that we are now focusing on in remedying some of those challenges, and also the issues raised by the AG in our report. One of the things, as the chairperson has indicated about the targets, was to review our strategic plan. In our strategic plan, we put up a strategy where we dreamt of this big organization that we thought we want to achieve all our objectives. But now we have realized that we cannot afford to do that. So we are in the process of reviewing the strategic plan and our targets. Secondly, we are reviewing the appointment of provincial managers, and as indicated in the report, that there is a confusion there wherein they are contracted as providers, but they're paid as employees. So we are reviewing that, and actually next week we would be having a workshop with provincial managers so that we just agree on the form of partnerships with them. We are setting up IT systems and infrastructure. The Department of Sports and Recreation senior officials in the IT unit, they are actually asking us to put systems in place and make sure that the reporting and also monitoring and security within IT is in place. And that is working quite well, and the department is monitoring that system. We have also realized that there's a need of setting up HR systems per the AG's report, and we are working with the department. Again, is assisting the HR, and the department is working closely with HR in BFA. The same also with the procurement system. We are working with the department, and one of the things that we were also looking on was the fact that probably we can actually even use the system that they are using because of at the end of the day it is within the sporting industry. We are reviewing financial finance department and its functioning. Because the report that we got from our own audit committee indicated the fact that there is a need to restructure the finance unit and the weight function. And the same applies to operations unit. And operations unit is our engine in BSA. Actually, there are two very important units within BSA. It's operations because of that way all activities of boxing are actually controlled. And the second one is finance because of every week we have to pay our licenses. We have to pay the boxers at tournaments, we have to pay managers. So those two units, if they are not functional, actually they affect our system. So those two units, we are actually working on them, and it's quite a priority on our list. We are also strengthening our licensing processes. We have realized that we are just licensing, giving licenses to our licensees, but we are not actually requesting them to sign an agreement with us, wherein they would then agree on how we are going to work together. We thought the regulations is an agreement, but we have now, since we started having problems, where you would find that some of our licensees don't follow the procedures as agreed, but we realized that we had a verbal agreement and not a written agreement. And also we were using the regulations as the agreement. But now we are moving to a level where we are saying in the next financial year, before we give them the license, they have to sign an agreement with us that they will apply the rules and comply with the regulations. So that, I think, it would actually help us a lot in managing some of the problems we are having with our licenses. We have set up already now the Ratings and Sanctioning Committee, which was actually no longer actually also committing by the end of the financial year. But now we have set up new committees. They are up and running. And our ratings are back normal, and the ratings is going quite well. We have also realized one of our weaknesses when it comes to our licenses, that we didn't have traditional codes. We have now worked with a legal firm. We have put up now DC procedures and arbitration tribunal. The board will be now going to approve the final judgment so that the DC and the arbitration tribunal should start functioning. We are also in the process of setting up a medical committee and also associations for licenses. And associations for licenses is just our agreement at the endeavor that we need to put up those associations. We have already, working with the department, finalized the constitutions of those licenses, of those associations, which would actually act as interim constitutions so that they can actually set up interim committees, and they themselves then go and put up work on their new committees and new constitution moving forward. But we just have to start the process. We are also strengthening We are also strengthening the relationship with international boxing bodies, because we realize that it's very much important for us to be closer to the international bodies and our license is being closer to the international bodies. Also, the department has seconded some of staff members to assist us, and Mr. Mike is one of those staff members, and also an assistant to Mr. Mike. There are three things in finishing that whilst we are working on remedying these other areas, that we are requesting to the portfolio committee, and it's a special request to the committee. The first one is request for continuous support, because the challenges we are having within boxing, I think we won't be able to manage them on our own. We need a lot of support. Second one is for portfolio committee to assist in negotiating for funding increase in line with the expected structural functioning of boxing South Africa. And the last one is to lobby for amendment of the Act and its regulations, because there is a need of amending the Act and the regulation. And the fact that in this world of sporting industry, there are a lot of things that are changing, and we cannot move with the changes internationally, because of the fact that we are not an association where we will go to an AGM and change the document, but we would have to go through the issue, the fact that we have an Act and the regulation, and we need to possibly relook at amending the Act and the regulation, and to make us start to work much better. And that's the end of the presentation, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation. Just a slight correction. You are appearing before the select committee of the NCOP. In the NA,
yes.
It's the portfolio committee, but here, this is the select committee. To that extent, would expect that when you do the presentation, you give us the status quo of the provinces, because the mandate of this committee is to ensure that provincial interests are taken care of in the national sphere of government. To that extent, next time when you do the presentation, please make sure that you give us provincial perspective.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Can we engage on the discussion, members, on the presentation, Honorable Kaola? Okay, members, how about allowing the department to present thereafter? Okay, is that the original to call or deputy minister? Okay, thank you very much. Let us just wait, sorry, and give the chance of the department to do the presentation. The department is not having a big presentation. I think 40 minutes also would be enough. Thank you. Members can load the questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will try to limit our presentation to the 40 minutes, but I'm pretty sure you will allude to the time if I'm going over time. If we go to the first part of our annual report, I think what was very important for the department in the specific year under review, 13-14 financial year, that was the first year, financial year, where we really started to implement the recommendations of the National Development Plan. And we have also made sure during that year that we review and update our policies when necessary to ensure that we have that alignment with the National Development Plan, and also to make sure that we address the issues referred to as the responsibilities of the department in the National Sport and Recreation Plan that was approved by Cabinet in May 2012. So in the specific year under review, we have also then started to have a first evaluation of progress made in the implementation of the National Sport and Recreation Plan. If we look at the overview of the accounting officer I think at the high level, the department did fulfill all its responsibilities when it comes to the delivery of the strategic documents, namely the input to the program of action, the five-year strategic plan, our annual performance plan, the estimates of national expenditure, as well as the operational plan. The department has also adhered to all the institutional performance reports that we were supposed to deliver. And these reports have all been submitted timeously, and that includes your quarterly performance reports, the impact report, the 2013 annual report, and the adjustment estimate of national expenditure. If we also still look under the overview of the accounting officer, it refers to five key events that took place during the year under review. The first one was the CHAN tournament in 2014, where South Africa very successfully hosted the Confederation of African Football, the African Nations Championships, and that took place early in 2014. For this purpose, the department did receive a once-off allocation of 158 million rand, of which 120 million was for the support of the host cities and 36 million for the local organizing committee. And Chair, as we can recall, 16 teams participated here in South Africa in 32 matches, and South Africa was lauded for the way that we have conducted the tournament, and the feeling was also expressed that through AFCON we really raised the profile of the tournament. The second very important event hosted by the department in the financial year was the Nelson Mandela Sports and Cultural Day. And we did organize this day in partnership with the Department of Arts and Culture, and we hosted during that day, as you can maybe recall, rugby and soccer matches that was also concluded by a very big cultural concert. In the year, we also launched professional sport leagues. The two main ones there were the Basketball South Africa, and that league started in September 2013 with various matches that took place until the final matches that took place in December 2013. We also assisted Netball South Africa to secure sponsorships for their national professional league that was due to start in this financial year. The fourth one, Chairperson, was the boxing in Daba. I'm not going to elaborate on that one because Mr. Vele already alluded to that event. And then we had the South African Sports Awards. The 8th anniversary of the Sports Awards took place at Sun City in Northwest. And this event, the purpose of the event is to recognize and to reward the sportsmen and the women for their outstanding accomplishments in and out of in and out of the field of play. Now, the main purpose remains that we want to profile the important role played by our sport and recreation people, contributing towards social cohesion, nation building, and global peace and prosperity. Over the years, this awards function has earned this picture as the most supreme and premium event in South African sport. If we then go to part B, and that refers to specific performance information, the department function under five departments or programs. The first program is administration, the second one is sport support services, the third program is mass participation, program four is international liaison and events, and program five, facilities coordination. Chairperson, this was the last year that the department did function according to this budget structure, because from 1 April this financial year, we functioned under a new budget structure that was approved by National Treasury, and the main purpose of revising our budget structure was to make sure that we align it with the National Sport and Recreation Plan so that we can ensure delivery on that plan. If we go to Program 1, Administration, the first sub-program there is corporate services, and part of corporate services we have communication and information. Now, if we look at their performance, 10 more than the targeted 3 sport and recreation promotion campaigns were launched. The target, while exceeded because of the challenges and developments in the sector, necessitated additional launches of the target setting. But, Chair, we must refer that many of these events were planned, but not specific to launches, so that it was just added to the events. 2014, also 25 March, saw the exhibition on sport in the struggle that was launched at the Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg. And this exhibition focuses on forgotten sports heroes who were denied a chance to reach the pinnacles of sport due to apartheid and whose names don't appear in the South African sport history books. The 2014 exhibition is a second edition of these exhibitions that serve also as sports sector contribution to the Human Rights Month. We also had the Andrew Mlangeni Green Jacket Awards that took place. And then still under administration, if we go to legal services, various bills and draft regulations were produced and processed during the year. These documents are at different stages of processing, and a full list appears under the section on key policy developments and legislative changes in the annual report. When we come to human resources, we have to admit that we didn't exceed in filling vacancies within 6 months, and this was mainly due to the decline of appointments, failure to get a suitable candidate internally. All the posts were first advertised internally, and then the failure to get suitable candidates externally. And that also then required further advertisements that also had an impact on the time of filling the posts. We also started with reviewing the organizational structure of the department to ensure that we align it with the National Sport and Recreation Plan. But this process is a very intensive exercise, and because we have to remain compliant to applicable prescripts and inclusive of all relevant stakeholders, including the organized labor. So the pace has therefore not been as fast as the department wished. If we go to the sub-program, the Chief Financial Officer, 39 reports against the target of 32 were submitted in line with prescripts. The reason for the baseline that was used for the additional reports is that the baseline that was used omitted the quarterly payment turnaround reports that National Treasury introduced at the latest stage. If we look at supply chain, the service provider database is fully operational. 12 asset reconciliation reports were signed off. The supply chain management processes have been improved after the introduction of new delegations of authority. As a result, the department has not incurred any unauthorized, fruitless, or wasteful expenditure during the year under review. If we look at sub-program internal audit, two charters, namely the SRSA internal audit charter and the audit committee charter, as well as the risk management committee charter, were reviewed and approved. The internal audit plan and the risk management plans were developed and approved, and 8 reports were presented to the audit committee and the risk management committee. When it comes to office accommodation, Chair, that considering various factors, we still going to remain in the current building where we are, although it is not conducive, especially when we meet with our clients, and also the accommodation that becomes critical if we're going to fill all the vacancies. But sourcing a partially adequate building, which is only available during the period under review, would require the department to supplement accommodation funds received from National Treasury with goods and service locations. And this would defeat the objective of providing quality services to more people of our country. The challenges of the current building notwithstanding, the department will, for the short term, extend its stay until adequate space is secured at reasonable costs. Chairperson, if we go to Program 2, namely that of Sports Support Services, there we have 4 sub-programs, namely Sport and Recreation Service Providers, Club Development and Support, Education and Training, and Scientific Support. If we start with the sub-program sport and recreation service providers, we see that 68 against the target of 60 national federations received financial support. The reason being funding of additional sport and recreation bodies was a result of a rising need and fruitful engagement with such bodies. The grading framework for national federations was also developed and implemented in this in that financial year. The National Federation Support Services needs analysis was conducted and two consolidated transformation progress reports were produced. If we look at the sub-program club development, club system was developed as sort of a franchise model and implemented through a pilot project in two provinces, namely Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal. If we go to the sub-program education and training, the chairperson, we have to say that the target of 8 national federations to support and to help them to develop training programs was not achieved. And the 3 national stakeholders, namely SASCOC, CAFSITA, and the department, agreed that this deliverable is the responsibility of SASCOC. Therefore, SASCOC will now take the lead in its implementation, and an implementation plan was formulated towards assisting achievement. The sector skills plan and strategies were developed in conjunction with CAFSITA as planned. If we look at the sub-program scientific support, talent identification and development strategy was developed and implemented. And through this strategy, talented athletes were identified at the school sport championships and placed in the sport focus schools. An average of 58 against a target of 71 athletes and coaches were assisted by means of scientific support programs. The target was not achieved due to the lapsing of contracts. And after the lapsing of the contract, no new intakes were made as the program is now winding down. 4 scientific conferences, including the World Anti-Doping Agency Conference and the iPlay Fair Sport Law Conference were organized, and Fair Sport journals were produced, 2 of them. So SISA also fully complied with the international anti-doping regulations. If we go to program 3, that of mass participation, it comprises 2 sub-programs, namely community mass participation and school sport. If we start with community mass participation, the number of mass participation and sport development ground performance reports submitted was not met because of poor responses from provinces in the 4th quarter of the period under review. And chairperson, just after the official presentation, I kindly request that my colleague, Ms. Unke Major, will just elaborate on the issue with the provinces and the problems that we have experienced there. If we look at the number of participants, 25,038 against the target of 25,000 were introduced or exposed to a mass participation project managed by the department. Following increased overall interest from eligible sports people, 206 against the target of 200 volunteers were registered in the National Sport Volunteer Corps program. Then, Jay, if we go to the flagship program of the department, namely that of school sport, we also find that the issue of school sport is very prominently referred to in the National Development Plan as well as the National Sport and Recreation Plan. Since the signing of the MOU between our Minister and the Minister of Basic Education in November 2011, there was a steering committee established and provincial sports structures whose responsible is for the implementation and the undertaking of the MOU is also now fully operational. The South African School Sports Championships was staged in December 2013 in Bloemfontein, and that was also a resounding success. Approximately 8,000 school children from all provinces participated in this event in 12 different sporting codes. Participation for athletes from under 13 to under 19 age groups, boys and girls, and it also included learners with a disability. This championship and its lead-up events at the district provincial levels has increased the opportunity for learners from all schools to participate in a national multi-coded sports event. 28 talented athletes were identified by the national federations and are now supported through the Ministerial School Sport Bursary to pursue their sports aspirations whilst pursuing their studies. The sport bursary is provided to learners at grade 8 until they finish grade 12. The department also supports schools by providing sports equipment and playing attire on an annual basis. The provision of attire is linked to the training of officials. At the end of the reporting period, approximately 650 schools have benefited from this initiative. In Program 4, that of International Liaison and Events, we have two sub-programs, namely International Liaison and Major Events. Under International Liaison, we have looked at bilateral relations, and in this regard, South Africa provided technical assistance to Lesotho with regards to the COSAFA and the 20 Youth Championships, as well as exchange of expertise regarding the sports awards. Bilateral consultations were also conducted at the ministerial level, Jamaica and Bulgaria, during the 4th World Conference on Doping in Sport, hosted in November 2013 in Sandton, South Africa. The department continues implementation of the agreement signed between South Africa and Cuba for youth from South Africa who enrolled for the degree of sport and physical education in Cuba. The students were also booked for research work in South Africa. Then the last program, Data Program 5, Facilities Coordination, comprising two sub-programs, namely planning and advocacy and technical support. The year in the review, we have seen the expansion of outdoor facilities playing a crucial role in diversifying the offerings to the public. South Africa has seen a continued growth in outdoor physical activity in many forms, ranging from walking, boot camp sessions, mums and babies classes, outdoor yoga, and lately outdoor gymnasiums readily available for people to use in parks and other open spaces. Sport and Recreation South Africa has recognized the value of outdoor facilities and has started with the erection of such facilities in various parts of the country. The sub-program planning and advocacy, a facilities plan was published as planned and the status report regarding the maintenance and usage of the stadium built for or refurbished for the 2010 FIFA World Cup was developed following engagements of the 2010 FIFA facility managers. The facility classification framework was completed. This framework will assist in classifying facilities into different categories, which will inform the kind of support that should be provided to each. This framework will become handy once the facility audit is completed. The planned number of national facility audit reports could not be generated due to non-existence of the database. Pre-audit processes became longer than anticipated as various options were being considered. Meetings had to be held with, among others, the CSIR, South African municipalities and the provinces. Then if we go to part C of the report, as a person, that of governance. The first issue there is the issue of risk management. The department has developed a risk management strategy which guides the process of identifying and managing risk and is being reviewed regularly to ensure that it remains current and relevant. Risk assessments. Risks are assessed regularly through the formalized and inclusive workshop-based approach. The department also developed a fraud prevention plan that was approved. The Department Safety, Health and Environment Committee, with representation from nominated staff and from organized labor, have been established and it is also functioning well. In terms of the financial disclosure framework, the department SMS members disclosed their financial interest by the 30th of April. In terms of the Code of Conduct for Supply Chain Management Practitioners, All supply chain practitioners are provided with a code of conduct and they sign to declare their understanding of such a code. Then, in conclusion, Chairperson, the report of the Audit Committee. The Audit Committee has noted a great improvement on the management of the performance information by the Department and its quarterly reporting to the Audit Committee. And that also improved drastically during the year under review. This was proven by the unqualified opinion expressed by Audit General as an audit of performance information for the first time. The Audit Committee is satisfied that the Department has implemented measures to monitor its transfer payments to provinces and national federations and is taking steps to ensure that DORA grants to the provinces are utilized accordingly. Furthermore, the Audit Committee concurs and accepts the conclusion of the Audit General South Africa on the annual financial statements and annual report. It is the opinion of the Audit Committee that the audited financial statements, together with the report of the Auditor General South Africa, should be accepted. And we also, as a department, realize that although we received a clean audit, it will still now be a major challenge that we remain that standard and not go back. Chair, for the last 5 minutes, according to my timing, I would like to allow my colleagues to elaborate a bit more on the support to the provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. van der Steyn. Thank you, Chair, and all the members and Deputy Minister. Sporting Recreation South Africa, on an annual basis, transfers money to provinces. In 2013, the year under review, we have transferred 494 million to the provinces. And this money is regulated through the conditional grant framework, where provinces are requested to do specific programs under the conditional grant framework. I think if you see in the annual report, the challenge that was there, that was highlighted and stated, is the reporting, which is not timely submitted, which at times does not reflect the quality that is required in order for us to know exactly what has been achieved in each quarter. And at the same time, the challenges that exist is the fact that sometimes there's absolutely no reports received, yet expenditure would have happened. I think the highlight of that matter in terms of the annual report and thus even stating the fact that it was not met in the last quarter, which was the fourth quarter ending in March 2014, is the fact that we have not been able to receive reports in time and we've not been able to receive some of the reports from the provinces on the conditional grant framework. We have, however, taken steps in terms of providing support to the provinces. We also monitor the provinces and do verifications, including our internal audit, before the Auditor General actually goes to the provinces. For the first time in the past 5 years, the Auditor General has actually audited four of the provinces, which is a specific view of looking at the funding that is supported through the DORA. Thank you, Chair.
I think we should also just inform the committee, perhaps the chief director can take you further into confidence there, but only three provinces are contributing from the provincial versus towards sport and recreation. Seven provinces are not contributing. They only depend on what we do in terms of the conditional grant framework or DORA grant to them. So as NCOP members, we will just have to draw attention to that in the province secretary.
It would have been better, Honourable Deputy Minister, to actually tell us which are the three provinces that are actually contributing and which are not contributing, so that you can check them up.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chair. KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and Northwest are actually budgeting and making provision support integration in their provinces. The rest of their provinces, Chega has not mentioned, which is five, therefore do not make a contribution, do not provide voter funding, and are dependent on the conditional grant, which is a huge risk. If the conditional grant was to come to an end, it therefore would mean there would not be support integration programs that are being implemented. This has been ensuing for the past 5 years, and in instances like, for example, Gauteng, which used to have voted funds, but when the provincial treasury noted the contribution that is being made through the conditional grant, then that was withdrawn and given to other programs. So a huge, a big program like voter integration program that is not provided with funding is a huge risk. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
We have had little presentations, honourable members, it's your time to engage. I had noted Honourable Kaula, the other member, Honourable Ramines Bokwana, and Mamburu in the people. Thank you.
Before I get to the presentations, I'd like to get your guidance in respect of how do we for our questions. We have two presentations. Do we do that simultaneously or we separate them? Thanks.
No, you would do, you would actually pose a question and direct it to sports or to the department, the other one to the agency. When they respond, the agency will start with the responses relevant to the agency and then the department.
Thanks for the presentation. Let me then start with the question South Africa. Our condolences first for the loss they have suffered in the institution. The mother is a lady from Lady Smith. Maybe her person, once you are there, so that you know this teamwork, cooperation, whether it's there, it would have been a good thing for your office to be properly informed of the going on, so that you also inform the members of what is happening. And that did not happen. For the future, maybe something like that will need to happen. Chairperson, the issue of golf in South Africa and the SAPC, it has been going on for quite some time. What are the issues? Because every time you get a report, every time there is something that PSA is saying, this is the major problem. And there are always promises, next month, in the next 6 months, in the next whatever time frame, this thing will have to sort it out. What are the issues? So that we are confident that the time frame you are giving us now is going to be for 4 years, because this has been going on for a long time. You have a very small budget, but your organogram, we'd like to know what your organogram is like, because when you talk of positions like CEO, CFO, it raises expectations, it's positions, name tags. When you talk of them, one expects that the pay is also as big as other big corporations and organizations with, of course, same name tags, but were billions in terms of their revenue. Now you only get 10 million here. CEOs, CFOs, does not maybe not contribute to you spending too much on salaries and being left is very leaking on operations. The issue of titles on its own, Jefferson. Maybe if you use other titles, you're not raising expectations of big salaries, so that you can spend a lot on programs. And so we'd like to know what your gun plan is like. Let me put PSA there aside and come to the department. Just two issues with the department. The first one is your financial report, the no figures. Would have expected that when you talk finances, you write figures, you talk to figures. It's just lines of sentences I write in here. I write in history when I was doing history. There's no accounting figures. What's the reason for that? And secondly, Chairperson, which is the last one, we complained about Chairperson of the colonial with the Department of Transformation on June, July. We complained about the poor monitoring bi-national of the provinces. We complained about your master station programs. We complained about your school sports, that the things you are saying to us, we come from provinces. Some of the things you are saying to us, you know, they are not happening. And what happens towards the end of the financial year, there is fiscal dumping. They hold workshops, they hold meetings, they hold whatever in the sports grounds just to finish your money and to give you the figures which are convincing that something has been happening in sports when actually nothing has been happening. They do things at the end of the financial year to convince you that they have spent, which is not quality spending. And I'm glad your report is also saying that, but the big issue is, when are you going to citizens? When is it going to be corrected? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me appreciate the two reports that have been presented to us as a committee, and appreciate the availability of the Honorable Deputy Minister in our midst. Thank you very much for coming. The first one, let me also pass our condolences to the sports legends, not only one, three of them that we had last month of this month. This month, just to indicate that we are part of the family, of the sport family, through thick and thin. It would really assist that we are being involved, because when we also get it from the media, we don't know how to react as a committee. You can't react on the media statements. But if we get information formally, then we are in a position to express ourselves as a committee, whether through the sad news or good news. It assists us as a committee. End up making motions and statements based on what we get from the media, which for me doesn't go well. The first input will go into the department. In the presentation of the department, I only saw inputs on the CHEM. There is no inputs on AFCON 2013. For me, it goes to the budget of 2012-2013, because it happened January 2013, so it has to be accounted for in terms of this report to AFCON, which we successfully hosted as a country, and want to thank the department very much for the support of these programs. But I do want to say also, Chair, that we have turned the corner. We want to appreciate the good work that is done by the department in terms of sports, especially our national teams, because that is where we are seen as a country, through our national teams, on how we are performing. I also think that South Cork, they've also turned the corner. We are getting towards the right direction. And we want to appreciate the good work that is done by the department. I'm not sure whether it's a clean audit or unqualified. I'm not sure. If it is a clean audit, can we maintain it? I know it's very difficult to maintain it. But looking at the dashboard from the analysis, if it is an unqualified with findings, you are very close to the clean audit, because there's no red at all. It's yellow and gray. The signs, those are signs of a clean audit. Can we maintain that as a department? And more focus to be put now on the boxing, South Africa. When I grew up, boxing was the sport. Where did we go wrong? Did it go with what Dingane Dobela, and then what happened? Where did we lose it? I hear what the presentation is saying. In fact, there is nothing much, because if you want to comment individually, comment on almost everything. But when I look at the forecasting of the budget of them, let me start with the leadership. Do we still have epochs in South Africa or not, if you don't have a bond? For me, technically, you don't have a bond. If you have less than, you have three board members instead of seven, technically we don't have a vote. But what does the policy say? Honorable Deputy Minister, I think that's an area that needs a urgent attention, because it might mean that we're operating with a structure that is not there. how do you run? What do you get a mandate as the administration if you don't have a vote? It will be very clear on the report of this financial year, because you are saying those things happened last year. But with this financial year, those things will... I'm just wondering, what do you get a mandate if you don't have a vote? Because it's not that the board is sitting, it's not there. Even if it is those they can see, they will not correct. So I think it's an error that has to be addressed with immediate effect, because it might raise some issues. But also the budget, maybe it is linked to what Honorable Kaula was saying. For me, the core mandate of this entity is program number 3, marketing, branding, communication and events coordination. And you have no budget at all. So what are you doing? Getting salaries for home every day. I'm not saying it's like that, I'm still asking myself, I'm thinking loud, that for me that is your core function, but there is no budget, that's all allocated for that. It is linked to the number of employees you have. You have such, I would not want to say such a huge structure, a structure that is not in line with your budget. In other areas, in almost all the programs, you have overspent. I don't know, but all what I can say to the Honourable Minister, because if I may comment one by one, I will have to comment on everything, is that let's pay closer attention to the board, to South Africa Boxing. Boxing South Africa, there are serious challenges looking at the report. And it's not only the report, but also from what you see, the outputs out there, there is nothing much happening. So it tells you that there are serious problems. But in general, we are happy with the work that is done by the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to say, I would also like to extend my condolences and to note that hopefully in your future sporting awards, the legacy of those deceased will be remembered in terms of awarding and commemorating their effort and vision on this world. Not just liberty and getting but commemorating on your sports award. And I know that will be happening with you. Firstly, Chairperson, I would like to know how is Boxing South Africa extending its tentacles to rural areas in terms of marketing and promoting boxing. And I'm thinking mostly, I know you're very rife in boxing in the Eastern Cape, especially in Tanzania, but you're not extending your tentacles as far as far rural areas like the state states. And I want to know your collaborative efforts in terms of social development in combating drug and substance abuse. Are you linked with them? What are collaborative efforts? What have you done to date? Because I see the target is within the youth, and that is located within social development. So how far have you gone in that? I haven't heard that from your report. Secondly, Chairperson, I want to know your marketing on the on boxing, is it only specifically to men and not including females? I'm gender friendly, yes, and I'm very much to the impact that some of our female counterparts are interested in boxing and shouldn't be only focused on men. So what are strategies that you have, and what have been the challenges thereof? Chairperson, I note with concern that there was a wasteful expenditure of 182,000, whilst you're also proclaiming an inadequate of funds that has been allocated to you. For me, that's a contradiction on its own. How are you getting that? It raises the question, Chairperson, about the monitoring and evaluation that is happening within the department. The fully fledged provincial status. You had mentioned some of the provinces that are complying to your own standard. I want to know how you, what's your criteria on allocation of funds in your provinces, and how
also, I know monitoring that. I know some are complying and coming back, and some other provinces are not doing what you expect. As the HOP, responsible for all provinces on our oversight, would love to see other provinces getting into the year, and not just only 34 provinces complying with you. And finally, the recruitment process on your staff, how does it go? And my other concern is the fact that maybe in support of what Honorable Kaula said, I think now is the time for the country to standardize the formulation of policy, including those board members. If I can do that. The relationship of the availability of skills and the financial remuneration on your side, I think it remains a challenge. And also, what I want to say is the fact that the department struggles to find capacitated individuals to fill the vacancies, and the budget appropriations make it uneasy to fill the post. Also, it makes payment of salaries seem to be a core mandate compared to the actual mandate of the promotion of boxing, as the presentation. So, just have my comment and the way of view from your presentation. I think it is it.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There's this saying that says, all work and no play makes Jack a boy. Let me start with our members of parliament where we stay in the parks. We're going to become bad boys at the end of the day because we don't have sporting facilities. Mm. Can you consider that? I can't raise some of the questions because already my colleagues have indicated the concerns that we're having as an elect committee. My comment is, we met the department some in June. We got the same report that some of the provinces are not adhering to the call of the national department, and my province is one of them. I tried my best to make a follow-up with the MC to say, MC, there is this challenge because we are not calling the results. The department can't have your program, the department can't have your report. What holds you not at all to execute the mandate as given to you by the MC? But nonetheless, it's never too late to mend. I'll make this follow-up. I'm a little bit disappointed because the department took some steps to pilot one of your program sports support services program, which is program number two, with the sub-program of club development and support. You did a very good job, but it's really disappointing if a department can't call the shots like you are doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. Let me add my perspective into your packet. Firstly, BFA, when we received you, Chairperson, we said you came back to Malbok. I don't have an idea. When did you start being Chairperson of PSA?
I started as an acting Chairperson in August, and then I was appointed as a Chairperson in May this year.
Okay. I'm asking the question because I can actually see, reading through your report and listening to your presentation, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. I think you were appointed into that position because there was a general belief that you are going to be able to turn the situation around. Firstly, with regards to your target that the organization has not been able to meet, I mean, if you set targets and meet only 25%, it's highly unacceptable. And I think I'm going to use all the skills that we have to actually turn the situation around. I did take note, though, of the fact that you did have a turnaround strategy when you did the presentation. I'm merely remarking on the basis of the report that you have received in the committee, where there are areas where we have not achieved anything, you target yourself, and you achieve zero. that you need to turn around, because next time you come before the committee, we'll be asking you about these issues. And then the issue of human resources. The plan was not in place. Your strat plan, I don't know that it was in place, but your human resource issue was not aligned to your strat plan. That's another issue. The issue of over-expenditure, how to over-spend when you don't have money and you have no hope that you're going to get any money anyway. Particularly, I wanted to emphasize what the other honorable members have said with regard to fruitless and wasteful expenses. In 2013, we had 13,000 fruitless and wasteful expenses. And in 2014, it rose to 182,000. In 2013, we had 102,000 irregular expenses. And then in 2014, it rose to, in 2014, 924,000. That is unbelievable. So these are the issues that we really plead with you, that you go and see to yourself and actually make sure that you attend to them, because when you come back, it will be embarrassing. Asking for quotes, if you procure anything above 100,000, you've got to get quotes before you continue the procurement processes. So we are pleading with you to actually correct the kind of situation. Those are issues that I wanted to bring to your attention. And the issue of the board, I think one of the honorable members did allude to the fact that you need to strengthen the board. Maybe you need to the assistance of the minister and the department to actually ensure that the board is fully functional for you to be able to take decisions that you can be able to support and back up. This is for Boxing South Africa or the department. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for the people. I hope you really are going to strive to sustain, because we don't want to go back, we are moving forward. But you really have done us proud that you are one of those departments that the president said you are running clean books of account. Thank you very much. However, there are challenges as well. The vacancy rate in the department seems to be quite high. I know that you've got a funding constraint, because the allocation that you get as a department has always been a worry to me. You get allocated to the key in order to be able to achieve strategic objectives. It's an issue that the trainer will have to look into, I mean, from now going forward. Because you need to lend support as well to provinces. As we speak, we are worried about the fact that provinces are not coming on board. Now, one does not know whether it is the financial constraints that you have that cause you not to be able to go to provinces or send officials that actually give support and make it a point that the provinces are up and running. And another issue, Deputy Minister, confuses me. When you say there are four provinces that set aside budget for sports and recreation, I don't understand what you mean when they get a share allocation to their provinces. When they divide the budget at the level of provinces, they don't cater for sports and recreation. Is that what you're saying? And nobody is listening to Mishnah in terms of you need to have a sub-directorate or a directorate or whatever, or a minister of sports and recreation, I mean an MC for sports and recreation. They're not listening. And they been told. And they're not taking you seriously as a national. Is it not?
Sorry, I think the point is the provincial treasuries look at the monies that are received from the national department, and then they decide that money of the conditional grant is enough. Therefore, sports and recreation does not require any further financial allocation from their province. So, which is a not sustainable reliance. For example, as I made an example of Gauteng, we transferred 8 million to Gauteng. So the Gauteng Provincial Department decided then that the Business Administration has enough funding for them to run the program. Therefore, they don't need to give them that, and then they send elsewhere where they believe there is more of a requirement. Now, the risk happens when that grant is no longer there. And then what is going to happen? Because you have to sustain the allocations. There must be a standard framework that you continue to make provisions financially to the respective departments. So right now, they are solely relying on the conditional grant framework instead of making those provisions.
You know, I understand that approach, but I would still insist, given the backlog, given the amount of work that needs to be done in the rural areas, a conditional grant can never be left. It can never be. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to use the backlogs to live. It may be there are okay in the cities, but in the rural areas, you cannot tell me that you cannot allocate for sports and recreation. This is a non-issue. Maybe the minister would have to sit and think, the minister, about how to approach this issue. Otherwise, really, one is going to get where one get to with this kind of situation of obtaining. And then the latency rate is a worry. I thank you very much for the information that has given us, this aggregating the what you call it, the employment, and we get to see how many females are employed, people with disability, and all that, because with other departments, we normally do not get that, that kind of information in a report. They seem to forget to give it to us. Now, the other worry is that if the vacancy rate is so high, who is then driving the programs? And are we going to be able to reach our target if that is the case? And then the controls, the IT controls need to be checked up. And the financial management controls, although you've got a clean audit, but there are still areas where we still need to strengthen our operation. Those were my issues with regard to the department. You can then respond. The Deputy Minister will decide who responds first. Or, no, sports first, then the Minister will be left. Sorry.
All right, fine. Thank you. Firstly, I would like to apologize on the issue of Pilile. I thought of it, but I wasn't sure of procedures, so I apologize for that. Okay, the second issue is the issue of the board. The board was appointed by May, a full board is appointed by the minister, and then from June the board is running as a full board, so we do have a full board running within Box now. The third issue is about the issue of the organogram of BSA. The issue that I raised as challenges where I was referring to the Act, that probably there's a need for us to review the Act, is the fact that the Act expects us to do certain things at a higher level, whilst funding is not actually in line with the expectation. The issue of the position of the CEO is stipulated in the Act. So, unfortunately, we cannot go and appoint just a senior manager whilst the Act is a CEO. Then you then have government also expecting you, and then the Auditor General indicated that you should appoint a CFO. And when you appoint a CFO, it's another additional fund. Then later on they said, no, you don't have an HR manager. Then you appoint an HR manager. So that's why our salary in the budget is quite high, because of all these expectations or procedures that we have to follow. There are areas where we can cut the organogram. That's why I was indicating the fact that we are reviewing the strategic plan. And those areas are areas that even if we review them, it's not to the best of run the organization, but it is for us to cut on expenditure. And unfortunately, one of the things that we were looking at was to say, even if we have to do marketing, can we do it differently by not employing full-time staff members,
but possibly by contracting a company to do it outright. But those are some of the things that we are struggling and trying to work around them. The issue again on budget and the fact that our task is to do marketing, again it comes back to the Act and the regulations. We are a regulatory organization where we regulate and license promoters. So the promoters, at the end of the day, by the according to the Act and the regulation, they tend to take away most of the things that we have to market. They have to organize tournaments. And then managers have a contract with the boxer, and the promoter has a contract with the boxer. So we end up with very little that we can market, because of what we can sell is events. And those events are actually given away to the promoters. One of the things in trying to manage to come up with solutions in all these things was for us as BSA to negotiate, and it's an unfortunate position that we then have to negotiate with promoters. And possibly they should allow us to at least have 3 events in a year as Boxing South Africa. But according to the Act, for us to have a fight, we need to do it through the promoter, which means again, we have to go and have an agreement with the promoter to do those 3 events with us, and which means we will then share the profits. And those are some of the things that we would then be trying to, you know, to make sure that we get this marketing going on and event, and then event management we would have to work on. So there are areas that if we are going to review the Act and the regulation, it would help us actually to start looking at all other commercial value areas within the Act and the regulation, and how do we divide what DSA should get and what promoters should actually also receive out of allocation of those commercial rights. The issue of boxing extending to rural areas, and the issue of social development in addressing challenges within our communities, especially when it comes to abuse of drugs. We are working closely with Sanabo because our focus is professional boxing. Sanabo's focus is amateur boxing. And Sanabo's responsibility is to do grassroots development until when athletes reach the level of being Olympians. And as soon as they move over that level, that's when they graduate to professional boxing. So we are working closely with them, but that area is their responsibility. And I think one of the things that possibly I would raise with them is the issue of possibly looking at partnering with social development. The issue of marketing of women boxing, we are working on that issue. Unfortunately, we are not moving as fast as we wanted to, and it is actually also affecting women boxing because of some of the boxers end up struggling to get challenges in certain levels because of the fact that there are very few women. And I think I would also request Mr. Khan also to respond on that moving forward. I'll just raise the fact that it is one of those challenges. But what we saw coming up quite well is the fact that female officials are doing quite well, and we also have one of the top international officials who's female from Northwest who's doing quite well even internationally. We are also having female promoters. Just in thinking now, I'm not thinking of any female trainer, but possibly we might be having that. But in other areas, we do have females coming quite well. And I think we also have to thank the minister on the fact that in the board, he also has appointed 2 females in the board. So we do have 2 females sitting in the board. The issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure is one of our biggest challenges that we are actually trying to address. And that's why we requested the department and the CFO himself in the Department of Sport and Recreation to also assist us and also make sure that we put things in place and monitoring. But on the other hand, we are also actually trying to put systems ourselves in within PSA. And I would ask Mr. Magee also to elaborate on some systems that are put in place in office. The issue of targets, I agree. We have set too high targets, and I think moving forward, now that we've realized that it's not good for us, we would then have to come up with manageable targets. And the issue of HR, Mr. McGee, if you could answer that one. Over to you.
Thanks, I think just the honourable members have alluded to the fact that we were no board, and let it be said that we inherited an organisation in distress, but we're trying to do our level best to do what needs to be done at the moment. This is the time for us to work really on boxing. I'm pleased by Honourable Mapuru's pronouncement that she's broke through the ranks and went to speak to provincial government, because that's one of the things that we need to do, that the committee and honourable members from the committee probably encourage and cajole their counterparts and comrades in the provinces to assist with the development as well. Coming to women boxing, women boxing is relatively new in South African boxing or in South African sports altogether. The issue is it's growing in leaps and bounds. If you go to Northwest, I know the boxers there like Ritam Kweli, and they're very good boxers. The fourth internationally. You've heard Noni Teng. I think Noni Teng holds the flag for some time as the foremost woman boxer in South Africa. So what we have also done is to try and rank them according to divisions and according to categories in terms of potential, in terms of experience. And I can say this person without really biting my tongue that in the next 5 years or so, we're going to be talking very strongly about men boxing in South Africa. I know where I come from in the Eastern Cape is that we commemorate the 9th of August as Women's Day because we have boxing tournaments there. I know promoters that would do that. And just also to say to a person that boxing does take place in the rural areas of the Eastern Cape. I know last week also there was a tournament in Sterren, there have been tournaments in Gombo, in Kafa, in all the southern areas of the Eastern Cape. Just person also to say that for us as a new board, with all due respect to Honourable Kaula, the elephant in the house is the absence of SABC, because leadership and everybody else here. Television networks make boxing all over the world. The jewel in the crown for every government, for every controlling body in the world of boxing is television networks. Once you have a hold on television networks, all the other things that are a problem actually disappear because you have a hold on to them. That is why one of the important resolutions that we took in Indaba recently, that was hosted by this department, was that we will hold on to the right as a controlling body and be promoters as they come. So that's my big concern, that really would want to solicit the assistance of the committee to help us with some of the problems that concern us.
I forgot the issue of SABC and boxing. I'm sorry about that. Just to give you a background, the previous board, and I was part of the board, we agreed with SABC that we were going to sign a contract with SABC for broadcasting. And as soon as we were in the process of working on the contract and trying to sign a contract, one of the promoters took us to court. And he then raised, the issue even now has not yet been addressed. But then, during the Indaba, we discussed the issue, and that promoter was at the Indaba, and we agreed with all promoters that BSA should go and negotiate the broadcast the dates with SABC, SuperSport, and any other broadcaster, including ETV. We started with that process, knowing that we have agreed with all promoters, including the same promoter. And in March last March this year, we had a workshop with all promoters because by then we had reached an agreement with SABC on how best we will actually roll out our programs. And immediately thereafter, the process stopped again because seemingly this issue was coming out again. And what we picked up in the process, and which I don't have a bad contract, we are told that he had a contract with SABC, of which he still wants to continue with that contract. And for a while we then moved out because of the department through the DG, he was actually addressing that issue. More than 3 or 4 weeks back, the minister called us with SABC and the department, and in that discussion he is now setting up a working committee to work on the issue now. He had actually now taken it to his level to address it.
Professor, with regard to the finance and HR, we are working closely with the CFO at SRSA to bring assistance. The main challenge which has contributed to the irregular expenditure, for instance, expenditure is the fact that there was no SEM system. There was no dedicated SEM unit managed by a person knowledgeable in terms of the requirement of the law, GFMA and other regulations, and also the SGM regulations. So that system, the department through the CFO and myself were putting together. The same applies to HR. The challenges in HR, we are now trying to rework the structure so that the focus on the key areas that are supposed to be delivered by the ESA. So all that also is dependent on the collaboration between the ESA and the department.
Let's hand over to the Deputy Minister to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I just like, with your permission, to make some general observation. Clearly, the turnaround strategy that we embarked upon is bearing fruit. And in the next financial year, when we appear in front of the committee, I think it will be visible. We are hearing the evidence already, and we're seeing the progress that is happening here. Honourable Chairs, and I'm not sure whether the honourable members of the committee are in possession of the Boxing Indaba final report with the resolutions of the Boxing Indaba. If not, I would suggest to the department to, as a matter of urgency, ensure that the honourable members are empowered with that, because we had 2 days of robust debate, honest talking. The chairperson of the board just touched on one of the topics, and I thought she did so very eloquently. The broadcasting component as vis-a-vis vested rights and what goes with that. So if you look at the whole clear out report of the Indaba with the resolutions, it will be very, very clear. Lastly, honourable chairperson, I may suggest that when we have SASCOC coming to the select committee, we make sure from our side that we put emphasis on SANAU to ensure that the programs of SANAU, as a member of SASCOC, a federation affiliated to SASCOC, is really shared with the honourable committee, so that you're aware of their programs and also their chances. Tough challenges. So if we can, even if we can agree to that, we would ensure that that happens. May I just pass this on to the chairperson? From our side, we embarked on the road because we recognize the challenges involving South Africa, and but we are encouraged as we implement the turnaround strategy. We see that things are getting in the right perspective, and we'll be filled with pride in terms of the management in the year to come. I'm convinced of that. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to answer particularly the questions on the conditional grant framework. I would like to contend, Chair, and all the members, that since the last time we were here, we have taken action in terms of monitoring of the provinces. Firstly, we have a penalty system. It's always good to have a stick and a carrot. And the stick approach is that of penalties. We would like to inform you that the penalties that we have are really not withholding and eventually stopping the grant, but they are about delaying the grant, so that we ensure that there is eventually compliance before we make any transfers to the provinces. We do know, and that's why I make the assurance, because when we go and we take the most stringent of measures of stopping the grant, it actually becomes a problem once again. So we haven't gone that way, we go to that. The carrot stick is really, we have a support program that every month, according to the programs that are in the conditional grant framework, all the coordinators in the provinces are meeting on a monthly basis on school board, on community board, on academies, a program, so that all of us have the same capacity in terms of implementing the programs that must be implemented. We have further involved the internal audit of sport and recreation to now go to the provinces and make those visits in the provinces. We initially did not have that. We were only monitoring by programs. But now when we go and we do the verification with our internal audit, it is both narrative, performance, and financial monitoring of what each of the provinces is doing. I must say that there are improvements in some of the provinces in terms of implementation, in terms of reporting, and in terms of true performance. And I must admit, with the visits and the monitoring that we have, yes, we still see that in some instances, in pockets of the provinces, the programs are not being implemented optimally as we'd like to see them being implemented optimally. We therefore believe with the strengthening of the monitoring, we're going to be eliminating those elements, because when there's presence, which happens every quarter, we also have surprise visits. So we have the business plans and the operational plans of the provinces. This is one of the things, obviously, that is not liked most about us, the fact that we just surprise and do it. Yes, and just there. And it is a change that we believe is very uncomfortable on the side of the provinces, but we believe that is helpful, because then it makes them to be ready at any time, because they don't know when we're going to come through for different programs. Yes. The school sport program in particular, I think some of the members of the select committee were part of the joint meeting at DM that we had with basic education. We actually have a very strong approach post that meeting, which is combined with basic education. I must say this. The deputy minister of basic education, even in the last joint meeting, has made commitments of making sure that there is even budgeting in support of the program. So in the areas where, at a local level, and at the school level, where sports and recreation and the school sport programs were not really happening, there is a commitment that in 2015, we're going to collaborate even more in terms of having those programs happening at that level. Because you would remember that in the previous report, a lot of work in terms of school sport was being seen at district, at provincial to national championship, but was not being seen at a local school level and inter-school competitions. So we've had those meetings, and we've gone beyond the meetings to clusters and to the joint team of both education and sport and recreation in making sure that more is happening at a local level and at a school level in terms of the program. With regard to AFCON 2013, I need to say AFCON 2013 happened in the financial year of 2012-2013, and so we did report on it in the financial report, because it happened before the end of the financial year of 2012-2013, certainly not in the report of this year. With regards to the allocation, I need to say the allocation of the grant in the past, it has been equitable share, which has made it difficult for provinces that have a rural base most to be able to implement the programs that are required through the conditional grant, which since changed that, and National Treasury agreed. We've taken 10 million out of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng in order for Northern Cape, for Limpopo, for Eastern Cape, and Free State to be able to have more funding allocation. This has been agreed with those provinces concerned in terms of making sure that if we keep to equitable share, Northern Cape will continue to receive less funding. So we've changed that formula to include allocation that can optimally give support to those provinces based on the nature of those provinces, the distances for them to be able to implement the program they expected to implement. Thank you.
Jay, maybe just to conclude on the final issues, maybe let me start first of all to apologize for not submitting the financial report as well. There was a presentation in that regard that is a summary of the financial statements as reflected in our annual report on page 112, and if members so wish, I can forward to them the presentation with that summary. Then, chairperson, on the issue of the vacancies referred to, yes, we fully agree. I think if one looks at the annual report of 2013-14, it is a bit alarming. Chair, as we have also mentioned in our presentation, that year under review was a year where we have started with reviewing our structure. And so we deliberately put the thing of vacancies a bit on hold to see if we can get the new structure approved so that we can advertise according to the new structure. Now, unfortunately, the approval of that structure didn't happen as quickly as we wished. So what we have done now was to identify critical posts and we have started to fill them. So when you look at the report on a vacancy for this financial year, you will see quite a different picture. Then, yes, we have also noted red flag areas when it comes to controls, and that is work in progress. We keep on ensuring that we can address those issues because, as I said also by the Deputy Minister, the big challenge now for us is really to ensure that we maintain the clean audit. And then just a last comment, Deputy Minister, I think we can just say that we took note for the outcry for sport facilities here at Parliament. But I think the utilization of those facilities will also be closely monitored. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair, thank you so much. thank you so much. It's good that we will really mandate you to come and do the monitoring and evaluation. Honourable Chairperson, just in conclusion, if I may just say, we took note of the request of the time is perhaps way of the share of information so that honourable members are not dependent primarily on media reports, which we know from time to time has a tendency to be a bit naughty, speculative, not always necessarily that. We take note of that. Honourable members, may I just come back to school sport. We know the importance of school sport. We are very clear about that. Collaboration agreements have been signed with basic education. There's a commitment to certain challenges. Whilst we are very appreciative and embracing and supporting the initiatives of basic education, we are also, you know, as kind of activists in sport, continuously advocating for a better slice of the pie. Physical education, we would like to see standalone subject. We would like to see physical education teachers in schools, but we are wary of the constraints of the budget and on the treasury. So whilst we say we appreciate that, we are not abandoning the idea and we are not stopping to advocate for physical education to be a standalone. We would like to see a hive sporting activities on Wednesday afternoon on a Saturday morning, because that is where we are going to unearth the talent. That is where we are going to really the transformation. I mean, honourable members, can you just dream for a moment with me and the Minister of Sport, the dream of the Ministry? Can you just imagine, honourable Chair, what strength in sport, in the world sport, this government, this country will be. If we succeed in that, as in all the talent, in the small dorpies, you know, in our country. I mean, it would be fantastic to see that. So we will continuously advocate for school sport, for physical education to stand alone subject in schools, for our children to have teachers converted to assist in extramural, because there is such thing as a corporate responsibility, and who says that we must do certain things really without insisting on compensation. There are certain things that we should be doing as responsible community members who say we are going to do extramural activities. Honourable Chairperson, let me just say on the conditional grant, and thank you to Mr. Joe, who has given and shared a lot of information with the Honourable Committee, but we will in the minute continuously argue with our colleagues in the provinces that it is just not good enough for a national department which just in terms of the conditional grant framework give money to provinces and then provinces say that is enough, taking into account the challenges we are facing in the various provinces. Let me just make one observation. The provinces that are assisting with the budget from the treasuries and are giving additional funding to the sport recreation departments in the provinces are doing more. And you will see them coming through in time to come. And it's at that point in time when we are going to stand back and say, but how is it possible that this province is doing so well and that province not? But we were aware and alert right from the beginning of the skews of the situation. So it would really assist us if on a responsible day, when the spirit of working together, we do more. Honourable members assist us, we advocate on the Minnek level and the government and in various Lakhot Lasse Fora for province to come into assistance. Honourable members assist us in the advocacy of that. Very important. Lastly, Honourable Chairperson, I do not wish to open a Pandora's box now, nor to further the discussion in a particular direction. I just want to speak to, when we speak to school sport, and the necessity of that, we must acknowledge the challenges in terms of infrastructure, sports infrastructure in schools. We have inherited, and we must not be, you know, asking, apologizing for that. We inherited the system where a lot of schools do not have sporting infrastructure. We can now say that basic education, when they now roll out a new school, part of the planning is that there will be a sporting facility developed with the schools. I think in the Eastern Cape you would have seen that, in KwaZulu-Natal you would have seen that. It may not be a big soccer field standard size, but there will be some combi court, it will be some sporting facility. And anything to our view is better than nothing. And the challenge is this. We have the municipal infrastructure around the MIG funds. And we know that the peak component of the MIG funds, they sell kind of ring fence to sport and recreation facilities. Now, it's not always used for sport and recreation. And we are arguing that we would like to see a consolidated fund of that money given to us, ring fence, so that we can go to the various communities and provinces and A, renovate what we have to renovate, maintain what we have to maintain, and run out aggressively against the national sport and recreation permit has to be done so that we do get access and so on and so forth. The challenge is this, we cannot expect, I think, National Treasury to run various different little interest accounts, you know, somewhere. So we must find a methodology of getting the money and give the assurances that we will be able to spend it on our national sport and recreation plan to address the very backlogs that we have. If we say that, I want to end with that, Honourable Chairperson, we must also recognize that depending on the size of the local municipality or the metropolitan area, that the size of the MIG will, you know, will vary. So it will be advantageous to have the consolidated fund so that in Malvo we can go and roll out the facility that's needed there, and the same in Bronkhorstspruit, you know, whereas we are over in doubting places. So this is part of our effort to address the backlogs and to ensure that we get our children at the same starting line in this country, right across the country, rural or urban, irrespective. That's our challenge. We will not tire until we reach that point. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, members. I think we've actually come to the end of our edition with the Boxing South Africa and the Department. Honourable Gowd?
No, thanks, sir. I don't know if you run out of time. I included two or three smaller issues. I'll let find out from BSA. You spoke of the provincial managers. I forgot to ask who is paying them. Is it BSA or the provinces? And the other issue is kickboxing and wrestling. What do they call? Are they part of your programs? And lastly, I don't know if it is something that is permissible. I wanted to get the names of the board members, those who have resigned and those who are still there.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm really excited to hear about school sports facilities, because I think it will be one of the things that will be, if we have those sports facilities maintained, and it will actually take our children from drug abuse, because we find that a lazy mind will often always do wrong things. I remember during our times, we really had sports at school, and on Saturdays we actually go and play sports, and there was no, this problem of drugs was not as driving as it is today. So please, Deputy Minister, don't rest until you actually reach that goal. Thank you.
The Chancellor of Government, can you please respond to the questions that you have to cover?
Okay, everyone, thanks. Provincial managers are paid by DSA. And in review of that, whilst we are looking at provincial commissions with the department, I think we'll have to engage provincial government to support those provincial commissions. The issue of kickboxing and wrestling, they are not part of us. Actually, when we had our meeting with the ratings committee, we took a decision that any boxer participates in wrestling or kickboxing is not going to be allowed to participate in boxing. The reason being that they come back with injuries there, and then they bring those injuries in our rings, and we end up actually given responsibility of some of those injuries. Because I think with, what do they call it, the one that does not, is not registered? No, not. There is this, this commercial. Yeah, mixed martial arts, which is not actually registered. There is a danger in that, because of if our boxers participate there and they're not actually checked by the doctor. And again, we don't want to give our medical team a responsibility of things that they can, because we don't know the time frame of picking up an injury that they might have gotten in the other event. So we just get a decision to say if you participate in those events, you don't participate in boxing. So if you are a boxer, you have to just be a boxer, and that's it. But I know the department is busy with a process of coming up with a new combat sport bill. And that combat sport bill would actually include all those sports, combat sports. Board members who were in the previous board, the chairperson was Mr. Monte Balfo. And the other board member was Dr. Natane, myself, and Tanganiso Manda, and also Mrs. Livaga, and Dumile Mateza. Mr. Dumile Mateza resigned because of the fact that he was joining SABC and there was going to be a clash of interest. Oh, there was also Mr. Kumalo, who resigned, the first person to resign, and he said the reason was because of other commitments. The chairperson, Mr. Balfour, resigned, I think, somewhere last year in July, because I was appointed acting in August. And then the only board members who are still serving from previous board is myself and Dr. Natal. The new board is Mr. Hadu, Dr. Nadani, Mr. Lutandon Jack,
Mancine de Kritana, Advocate Wumbi, and also Zandi Kabini, that's the new board. But what I will try and do, also Chairperson, possibly we need to forward the list of the new board members. Okay.
No, thank you very much. We've come to the end of the engagement. Let me take this opportunity to thank the Department Sports and Recreation South Africa as well as the agency of South Africa for this very fruitful engagement. Deputy Minister, count on the committee. We shall always support whatever it is possible for us to do so. I was happy to hear some of the members of the committee actually committing to ensuring that they engage provinces to come on board in terms of the budget at that level. Fortunately, my province is up to scratch.
But we were also happy to hear that the Minister of Education is actually committing to using part of your budget to start to develop this sport infrastructure in the schools. That is highly commended, but we are going to be following as whether it is actually happening. And I hope you will succeed, Deputy Minister, in calling Treasury to take the 15% allocated infrastructure for sports back to the department. Because if it is lumped together, there will always be competing priorities in municipalities. But if it is with you, they're going to do precisely what it is meant to address in the community. Boxing South Africa, thank you very much, Chairperson. We got adequate responses. We are happy with the responses. When you come back, we shall look at the effect of your turnaround strategy, and we wish you all the best with your board as you drive the process forward. To all and all, thank you very much. Thank you. Can release the department. The committee will look at the minutes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alright, let us look at the limits of the 14th of November 2014. Thank you. Do you have copies, honorable members? Minutes of the 14th of November. Anything to correct on this one? I'm not sure what I was saying. Yes, honorable
colleagues. Mhlaka 14 November uMember Mkhawula ubale absent on the apology once it's sent to the office. Can you correct it?
Okay. So corrected. Okay, I made a mistake even today for the record. For the record today, we didn't make apologies. Which are these? Madeis and Stockhead for the apologies to the secretary. Just for the record. Thank you.
With respect, these is forever not in.
The whip of the commission that is coming within her area of operation.
So,
if it's an issue that you need to deal with outside of here, it needs another office. There is the office of the chief that needs to take care of that. Honorable Cook. If you get. Are we on the. Okay. Honorable Damis, are we on the minute?
I just want to check, maybe our officials can advise us, what does the policy say about a consistent approach? Because if I can go on the meeting, maybe they can advise us, because it happens at the committee level. So I don't know what if we plan again, because now the apologies are coming to the committee meeting. What does the policy say?
Or... maybe they would advise us on that one, but I thought that the whip is here precisely to look at the bill, because the whip is not whipping only members of a specific party. She is whipping the committee. And if there are issues arising as a result of members failing to attend the committee meeting, there is a higher office above the whip of the committee, the office of the chief. And I should think that issue needs to be deliberated upon at that level. It's beyond us as members. Because this member is sent to the committee by her own party, you know? So it's an issue that goes to the office of the chief that needs to be taken by the people of the committee. Can be released. The meeting is over. We are deliberating on home.